Today's daf in Masechet Yomah, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Dalet, and we were holding right in the middle of the story of what to do if you are bitten by a rabid dog, or for that matter, a rabid moose. Note that Richie is hiding out today indoors. He's obviously worried about those rabid moose. So what do you do? So today we're up to denochit lemayis. So someone who is bitten by a rabid dog is going to die. Maitakante, what can he do to save his life? Om rabbi neti mashka de apa de dichra. You bring the skin of a male apa. What an apa is, a lot of discussion about apas, exactly. Look, some say it's a polecat from the translation of Rashi's French. But whatever, it's some type of rodent or mammal, of maybe a larger mammal. Nichtov ale, and write on that skin, ana plani bar planita, I, and you mentioned your own name, your mother's name, amashka de apadichra kativna alach, I am hereby writing on the skin of a male apa, and I'm writing about you. Kanti klirus. Now these are just incantations. They don't mean anything. Where some say you should say kandi klirus. Ka ka shem tzvakot, amen amen sela. And then take off your clothes, bury them in a beis hakvores. And the question is whether we should add the words that the burial should also be parshas drachim, or whether it's only later. Vinifkinu. And then take them out of there, v'niklinu b'tanura. So this for 12 months, you leave them buried. Take them out of where you buried them. Put them in an oven. Burn them up in an oven, not in an open fire. U'nevadrinu l'kitmei parshas drachim. Take the ashes. Scatter the ashes around on a intersection. V'hanach tresi yachishaten. During those 12 months, kishate maya, if you're drinking a clear liquid, do not drink directly from a glass or a cup, drink through a straw. Because it says over here a copper straw, but it doesn't mean necessarily a copper straw, as we'll see. Drink through a straw, not to expose yourself to the water, because it reflects. You might see a reflection of whatever it is that came from the dog onto you, and then you will be in a matzav of danger. Yada Abba Bar Marta, who is also Arba Baminyumi, and of the Le'ime Guvta de Dahava, he was bit once, and his mother made him a golden straw, and he would only drink out of that golden straw, and he ended up having a refuah. V'yoda Merimati, Mati Bar Cheresh, he also said that if there is a pain in your mouth, which there's a question of how to be goros in the Mishnah, and so the Mefarshim talk about this, and they actually identify what we're talking about, which is tzapidna, with scurvy, because it's talking about the kind of bleeding in the gums, and elsewhere the Gemara explains that your teeth could fall out, it ends up affecting your entire digestive system. And in fact, actually, Rav Meisha Zatzal uses the Gemara, he paskins on the basis of this Gemara, that even if something is currently not a sakonis nefashas, but it will develop into something that is sakonis nefashas. You see clearly from here that even though it goes from one thing to another thing, that is considered to be currently a sakonis nefashas, and you would be mechal Shabbos on it, because that's the case of tzapidna. So anyway, that's what Ramatya Bar Harash said. So you'd make that medicine, even though it involves Chilul Shabbos, and you would put it in his mouth. Now, Rabbi Yochanan once had this disease, this tzapidna, and he goes to this matronisa, he goes to this woman who was a non-Jewish woman, and she had this remedy. And she did it to him. Of the Leimilta Chamshum Ale Shabbat, so on Thursday in Erev Shabbos, she puts it on him, and he says to her, well, what do I do on Shabbos? I mean, I can't come on Shabbos. So what do I do? So she said, don't worry about it. You won't need it anymore. It only needs 2 days of treatment. You know, she doesn't believe her. He says, but what if I do need treatment? You know, don't tell me I don't need it. I mean, I know they always say that. So she said to him, look, if you swear that you won't tell anybody what it is that I do, So I'll tell you what you can do, because I trust you. So So he swears to her in the following language. So to God, so she thinks it means that I swear to God, right? But he never said, I swear to God. He just said, to God, I will not tell. So meaning, I'm not going to tell God about this. He probably knows himself. Okay. So he never makes that shvua. And then he goes out, you know, and he's giving a drasha in public on Shabbos. And he tells everybody what this refua is, because he felt that it was very important for people to save their lives with this kind of thing. So nafak drasha bepirka. So Gemara says, I understand. He swore, didn't he? No, of course he didn't swear. He said, I won't tell God, right? The law of Yisrael, lo megalina. But I certainly will tell his people, the Jews. I just won't tell him. I mean, but it's a chilul Hashem. I mean, she thinks he made a shvua. And she thinks he's going to be over on his shvua. No, he told her right away. As soon as he said that, she told him what to do. And he said, by the way, you notice I never made any shvua. I said I will not tell God. And I will not tell God. I definitely, you could trust me on that. So she understood that she should have paid closer attention. Anyway, what in Maisa did she do? My Avdalah. Omer Avacha B'Reid Ravami. What she did was she took Maisa'or, so she took sourdough water, and she mixed it with Shemen Zayit V'Nalach. Very simple folk remedy. Rav Yemar says it was actual Sa'or, was actual sourdough, not the water that it had been soaking in. And that was mixed with Shemen Zayit Umelach. Rav Ashi says, no, it was the Mishka de Gat for the Avza. It was actually the Shuman that you could find at the base of the large wings of a goose. So that oil, which is, you know, part of the, like humans also have in hair follicles, there's oil. So over here, the large feathers of a goose, you could actually get that oil out, and that cures this tzapidna. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, listen, buddy, I tried all of this stuff. These folk remedies don't work. None of them. I did all three of you guys. Nothing worked, okay? But, so it didn't help me. Until this Arab guy tells me what you should do is so what you should do is bring the olive pits of olives that are not yet one-third ripe. Burn them on top of a Mara Charita. Get a hoe, a brand new hoe that was never used, and Adbik Bekakidare, and then put these ashes along your teeth where they meet the gum. And then I did, and that actually saved me. And what does this come from? This is a Fidna Mechamim Mechamim Edechite, Umishiri Kasar Darsana. So if you eat very hot, overly hot, don't let the bread cool. If you eat that from, and it's made out of wheat flour, or if you leave this kasat arsana, which is like a herring kind of thing that is mixed with other ingredients, you leave it overnight, and then you eat that, that can make you sick. What are the symptoms? You put something on your teeth, and right away your gums start bleeding copiously. Rabbi Yochanan actually did all of this, and that means he burnt everything on Shabbos, on the Marachadata, and he was cured. But Rabbi Yochanan, hechi avid achi, so how actually did Rabbi Yochanan do an Isser Shabbos because his gums are bleeding? Like this is Sakonis of Fashas? Or Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, yes. Because the tzapidna, even though currently it's a gum disease, but as it progresses, it becomes very, very dangerous because it's matchil beper, but it ends up infecting the entire digestive system. So it gets into your intestines and so on. And as we know, any infection or anything that is causing inflammation, if it's in the inside of the body, anything that is b'chalal aguf is considered to be a sakonis nefashos by definition. So because of that, and as I said, this is Moshe's raya, that you begin treating a disease before it develops. So in other words, even though currently it does not seem to be in a state that is a problem of sakonis nefashos, because it's currently only a gum disease, But since this is the normal development of the disease, so mamela, you're allowed to treat it now. This is nogei a little bit the sugya that we're going to have soon about treating a disease now for problems later in a different Shabbos. But who was the one that said that you're allowed to do this on Shabbos? I mean, it appears that you're following only Reb Matya ben Charash, because Reb Matya ben Charash was the one who says in the Mishnah, HaKoshesh b'piv matilin lo sam b'Shabbat. I mean, why would you go according to a Das Yochid? Why wouldn't you go according to the Tanakhama, who apparently does not agree, right? Because, I mean, the two things that Reb Matya ben Charash seems to be saying over here is that, number one, he says that if someone was bitten by a rabid dog, so he's allowed to eat the chatzar kavod, he's allowed to eat the diaphragm of the the chatzar kavod, by the way, is often misunderstood to mean eating the liver, whereas the chatzar kavod is the place where is the actually the diaphragm, where the diaphragm is right by the lobe of the liver. Anyway, so he says you're allowed to eat it. And furthermore, he says, at least it seems that that's a continuation of Reb Matya ben Charash, that HaKoshesh b'piv matilin lo sam b'Shabbat, that if you have pain in your mouth, he understands that it means this tzapidna, so you're allowed to make medication on Shabbos for it. But that's a Das Yochid. Omar Lei Shani Omer. Rabbi Yochanan says to Reb Chiya bar Abba, I don't think that's the way to read the Mishnah. The way to read the Mishnah is that the only argument was b'zo, v'lo ba'acheret. In this, they agree. It's only in the other thing, meaning in the chatzar kaved of the mad dog, that's where they don't agree with him. But you're reading it that the whole thing is Ramat ibn Harash. I don't agree. Lema misayale. So I think we can bring a raya from the Braita that shows that indeed it was only Reb Matya ben Charash that was a machlokes as a das yochid benogea the rabid dog, but not benogea the question of how to deal with this question of the tzapidna, because it says in the braisa like this: somebody who is achazoye rakon. So this guy is jaundiced, right? So he seems to have hepatitis, and that obviously is a sakanas nefashas, and machilinoto b'sar chamor. So the accepted treatment for jaundice at that time was eating the meat from a donkey, which obviously, unless it's a sakana, is an iser d'oraisa. Misha nishacho kelev shote, and if you were bitten by a mad dog, then machilino to michatzer kavetchlo, you can feed him from its diaphragm, and a choshesh bepiv, and this is the case, of course, that we're talking about over here, somebody who's got these bleeding gums. So, matilin lo, note that, by the way, over here, the girza is clearly choshesh b'piv, not choshesh b'grono, which is why, and the Gemara is saying that this is exactly the case in the Mishnah, which is why some change the girza in the Mishnah to be more consistent with the description of tzapidna, and it's not a choshesh b'grono, it's not a throat pain, it's an actual gum pain. And that's what it should say in the Mishnah, too. Anyway, matilin lo sam b'shabbat, and then it closes with the words Divrei Reb Matya ben Charash. That means that the previous three things were said by Reb Matya ben Charash. And the Chachomim say, well, in these things, ein ben mishum refuah. So in other words, instead of the Chachomim saying, no, we disagree, ein ben mishum refuah, these things are not something that is either, it's not the holy, is not a sakanas nefashos, or what you're going to be doing is not going to be working anyway. In any event, why do they say in these things we disagree? What do you mean in these? Just say we disagree. So obviously, Be'elu is coming to say in certain of these things we disagree. So what do these things mean? Apparently, I mean, what it means is Lema'ute Sam. Because look, it doesn't make sense to say that medication is not medication. What is that supposed to mean? If you want to talk about something ridiculous like eating the meat of a donkey, or eating the diaphragm of a dog, I mean, that makes a lot of sense to say, what does this have to do with medical practice? But then if the third statement that was made by Reb Matya ben Charash over here is that you're allowed to prepare medication, he didn't say what the medication was. So how could the Chachomim say, no, that's not a refuah. What's not a refuah? So it makes very good sense to say that we certainly don't disagree about Tzapidna being a Sakanas Nefashis. We're not talking about that. But in things that don't appear to actually be a medical thing, which is these folk remedies, that we disagree with, right? Okay, so then that means that Remati Ben Charash is not a Das Yochid when it comes to the Matilin Sam. That's what I hold, says Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore, I hold that you're allowed to do it, and I actually was becoming this in myself. Says the Gemara, well, you can't bring a Raya from there. Maybe what it means is in these, that is to say, in all of the above, we disagree. But we do not disagree about the question that Ramati ben Charash said elsewhere. And that's what they meant. So in these, meaning this entire set of things, we disagree. So what do we agree with? That if somebody is affected by sarunchi, possibly diphtheria, where over there Ramati ben Charash said that letting blood for the sarunchi is mutar on Shabbos, and there we don't disagree. There we agree with Ramati ben Charash. But all of the above three things, we disagree. In which case, I mean, maybe. So maybe it ought to still be a Das Yochid. We understand that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold that, but we're trying to bring a Raya that he's right. He can't bring a Raya. As a matter of fact, it makes a great deal of sense that the thing that the Rabbanu was saying over here that we do agree with, and that we actually disagree with all three of the above, and the Be'elu includes the question of the Sarunchi, is that, of the Tzapidna, is that Achinami Mistavra, the Tanya. Take a look at this other Braisa, which is what you were referring to. There were three things, and these three are different. Over here, it's Mekizin Dam Sarunchi B'Shabbat, and then the two that we saw, mi ishinashacho kelev shote, machilin atomichatzakovet shalo, so that's the thing about the diaphragm of the mad dog, or achoshish pepiv, we give him medicine on Shabbat, and the chachomim say, no, not in these. The elu, not in these. So when they said not in these, meaning what? Not in which? These, but which one do we agree? So my lavatarte batzraisa. So they were saying, in these latter two things, which is putting medication in your mouth for tzapidna and giving the diaphragm of a dog, and those things we disagree, but we do agree with the first thing. I mean, that's normally the way that you would say it. No, these last things, that's not true. Okay, the first thing, that's fine. And the first thing would be makizidam le sarunchi. So maybe that's really the way that we should understand that first braita. Says Gemara, no, not necessarily. Maybe what they mean to say is atarte de resha gomaita velamute de seifa. They might be referring to the first two things, you know, and maybe this is true in both of these brises, that they were saying that we consider the first two things to be not true, but the last thing is true. So maybe it is a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. It certainly can work on Libet Rabbi Yochanan. You can't say, Achinami Mistabra. It could be that what they're saying in both cases is that we do agree that it's okay to make medicine on Shabbos for somebody who has this problem in his mouth, in his gums. Anyway, says the Gemara, we'll bring you a raya. That actually, the Chachamim Remeida to Rav Matya ben Charash, that you are allowed to make medication for Tzapidna on Shabbat, exactly the way that Rabbi Yochanan said, because the Toni Rabba Bar Shmuel, so this is the beginning of the sugya, we know the first part, that Ubra Sheiricha, so this pregnant woman, she gets this smell of something on Yom Kippur, and she needs to eat it, so it says, Machilinotach Tashuv Namsha, you give her until she feels okay. Now, this braita includes, Mishina Shechobe Kelev Shote, Machilinoto Michatzer Kaved Shalot. Furthermore, Hakoshish Bepiv Betilin Lo Shabbat, Sam B'Shabbat, and this is all quoted in the name by Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, in the name of Rabbi Matya ben Charash. Whereas the Chachomim say, nope, in one of these cases, Bezo, in this case we agree, but not in the other cases. Now, what do you think the Bezo is referring to over here? In this case, we agree. that it's referring to the case of the pregnant woman. I mean, obviously, I'd agree with that. That was the Mishnah. I mean, that was said over as a Stam Mishnah, and that is the Dasa Kuli Alma. The Rabbanu don't need to tell us that we agree about something that's an obvious Akonis of Fashas. Ubra, Mi'ikal Amad Yomar Delo, a pregnant woman who has a craving, there's no sheet that we ever found that disagrees with that. El Alav, so it's only talking about, the only case that makes any sense, because they certainly can't be saying it makes sense to feed the guy, the diaphragm of a rabid dog, because they said beferish in the Mishnah. No, 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 that's not considered to be a refuah at all, right? So there's only one case left. It's got to be that they are talking about, we agree in the case of the Sam. So Shmamina, that indeed, Ramatya ben Charash is not arguing on the Chachamim in the Sam. And the only machlokis in the Mishnah about whether it's mutter is talking about the diaphragm of the mad dog, which, as we mentioned yesterday, as some of the Rishonim say, is a very fundamental machlokas about whether you can search out a more effective placebo. And nobody believes that there's anything meaningful, medically speaking, about this diaphragm. The only question is whether, since people really believe this, and it may be useful to have a placebo that people really believe in. Okay? People take for granted that placebos only work because people believe in them, but that's not true. You can experimentally show that placebos that people know are placebos still work. So then that would be the question of whether a additional value to a placebo, this is the Meiri brings from other Rishonim, that that's good for the machlokas. But okay, remember that Rashi understood that there's actually a machlokas about whether this is a refuah or not. Rav Ashi says, it's clear in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan is right. Well, take a look at the Mishnah again. You weren't really reading it carefully enough. It says in the Mishnah, V'od amar Reb Matya ben Charash, ha-choshesh b'piv batilin lo sam b'shabbat. Okay, now, the Rabbanan don't say a word over here. They only argue on the Chatzar Kavet, right? Not on the Va'od. So what a weird way to construct a Mishnah. Because if you're telling me that it's insignificant, it doesn't say that the Rabbanan argue, but they do argue, that doesn't make any sense. Why make an entirely new phrase? And furthermore, Reb Matya ben Charash said, what's the point of making a new phrase? Simply say, Reb Matya ben Charash amar, that in the case of someone bitten by a rabid dog, machilinoto, and in the case of somebody who's suffering in his gums, that osim lo matin lo sam b'shabbat, and then say, v'chachom imam remain b'zeh mishum refuah. Right? So, I mean, the very fact that we don't, le'arvinu v'lisneinu v'lif l'rabbanu b'seifa, say two things and then have the rabbanu argue with it at the end of the Mishnah and say we disagree. Shmami knows, so apparently they don't disagree. Otherwise, how do you excuse the way that the Mishnah was formulated? Okay, getting back to the Mishnah. So what the Mishnah says is that since it's Safek Nefashas, and Safek Nefashas is Docha Shabbat. I mean, when you say Mipnei Safek Nefashas, that means that I agree that Safek Nefashas is Docha Shabbat. You're not adding anything. And you should know that Safek Nefashas is Docha Shabbat. You just said that. You said you do this on Shabbos because it's Safek Nefashas, okay? So you couldn't be more clear about the fact that Safek Nefashas is Docha Shabbat. Why are you mentioning it again at the end? Says Rabbi Yudah Merav, because the Mishnah is being Merames to a Chiddush. It's telling me that Safek Nefashot is Docha Shabbat, even where we're not talking about a Safek Nefashot on this Shabbat. That's the point. So we're saying, Safek Nefashot is Docha Shabbat because it's ultimately Docha Shabbat. So I feel Safek Shabbat Acheret. What we're talking about is we are absolutely clear about the fact that this guy is not in danger of losing his life on Shabbos. So if we hadn't said those words, so I would have said, okay, you told me that it's a Safek Nefashot, so maybe that means only, is the guy going to die on Shabbos? No. So then it's not Safek Nefashot, it's Docha Shabbos. But when you say Safek Nefashot, Docha Shabbat, what you mean is that even a safek nefashot that would be on a different Shabbos. So suppose I don't treat the guy today. He will be endangered, possibly, on another Shabbos. So you're allowed to start your treatment today. Let's imagine a case like this. A guy has an infection, and the doctor says he needs 8 days of treatment with an antibiotic that needs to be manufactured on Shabbos through Chilul Shabbos. Okay, so do I do that today, or do I say, all right, let's start the 8 days of treatment after Shabbos? I mean, why do I need to start it on Shabbos and be mechalal two Shabbatot? Apparently, we're talking about where it needs to be done each time. Let me start on Metzori Shabbos, because we asked the doctor, is he going to die today? No, he's definitely not going to die today. Okay, so he's not going to die today. Let's put off treatment until tonight. So I would say, okay, it makes sense to wait until tonight to begin the 8 days. That way you don't have to be mechalo to Shabbatot. And therefore comes along the Mishnah to tell me with these extra words that every Suffolk Nefashos is Docha Shabbos, is anyway mutter. So even though we're going to end up being mechalo Shabbos twice, it's Kedai to be Mechal Shabbos twice. Okay, so we said, as before, that this is Nogea, the question that we had about the Tzapidna developing into a more dangerous illness that is affecting internal organs as opposed to its initial symptoms of affecting only the gums. So, I mean, over there we've already said that the development of an illness... Well, I mean, Reb Moshe, as I said, used this in a tshuva to show that even though currently the person doesn't have an illness which is dangerous, but from this illness you can develop a different illness which is dangerous, you start treatment now. And it's considered to be as if it's all one illness. Here the question is, what's the chiddush about this? I mean, if lemaisa, makes absolutely no difference whether we put off treatment until tonight. So then the Mishnah says that, the Mishnah Brura says that in the event that you would know that there's absolutely no difference in treatment between starting Mitzray Shabbos, so then Enochinami, you shouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. So then, I mean, then the question is, if that's the case, then what's the Chiddush in saying, if I don't know that there's not going to be an enhanced danger by putting off treatment, so then what's the chiddush that I'm allowed to treat now? Obviously, I'm allowed to treat now. So there's a lot of discussion about this. Many achronim get involved in it. What in the world is the chiddush of this last piece? Would we have thought that Chilul Shabbos is only mutter where it's a particular Shabbos? I mean, that's how the Kilas Yaakov says it. That I would have thought maybe it's only Nogea, being Mechal Shabbos, where this Shabbos the person could die. But what in the world, how would that fit in with the Tzapidna? So, okay, you see the questions. Fine. Tanya Nami Hachi. And we have a Braita that says basically the same thing. It says you're allowed to heat up water for somebody who is sick on Shabbos, whether you need that hot water as something that he needs to drink, or whether you need that hot water as something that you need to wash him with, because that's kedei lavroto, gives him, just renewing to take a hot shower. And this is true, lo Shabbat zo b'levad amru. Even, it's not only where he might die on Shabbos, it means that you can strengthen him because ultimately he's sick and weak and he may die next Shabbos or whatever. Hello Shabbat acheret. I mean, obviously Shabbat acheret is a meaningless thing, as we'll see. And it says, some take it out because of that. Ein omrim namtin lo shema yavri. And we don't say, let's wait. You know, maybe if we don't treat him, he'll get stronger. Ela b'chamim lo miyad. B'pnei she'safek nafashot dochet ha-shabbat. V'lo safek shabbat zu, ela filo safek shabbat acheret. Even if there's a question of his dying at some other time, and it's definitely not a sakon at this point, it doesn't matter. We do not choose some it's mashman that the correct yours is ketanim. Lo yedei ketanim, lo yedei nochim, lo yedei kutim. We don't ask children to be mechal Shabbos in these cases. We say, well, listen, the guy's not going to die on Shabbos. Get a goy to do it. Get children to do it. And as a matter of fact, we specify that it's dafka gedolei Yisrael. It should be people who are our full gedolim, and they are Yisrael and not kutzim. Ve'in omrim yeesu devarim alolo. We do not say. Now, this is a question. How to read this is the Rif does not have this girsa. He doesn't say ein omrim, but rather ein osim. So ein omrim doesn't really make much sense. Ein omrim yesu dvarim alolo lo apinashim lo apikutim. That we don't say that expert opinion should come from women or from kutim. That doesn't make any sense. Why in the world would we not say that an expert opinion could come from women? I mean, it says beferish in other cases that we dafka do ask women. We're talking about a yoledet. We do ask women. They're considered to be bekiyim. I don't know. The Rif's girsa ends up making much more sense. The Rif's girsa is don't ask a woman, even though she's gedola Yisrael, to do it. Because women are often too machmir. So like they believe that maybe you shouldn't be mechal Shabbos. You can wait. And you see this all the time. Now, you know what? Better I'll wait. Why should we be mechal Shabbos? So if you give it to a woman, she may actually be too machmir and not do it right away. You know, she'll be mitatzel, maybe they'll get better, or I'm not really sure I should be doing this, you know. So therefore, you'll end up with a greater sakonas nefashas. And because of that, we don't give it to a woman. The same thing is true about a kuti, that sometimes they are too machmir, you know, because anything... Like the Gemara says, anything that they do hold of, they're more machmir than Yisrael is, right? So, which is usually the case. So you have a fundamentalist belief in what it says in the Holy Book, you know, and you don't believe the Rabbanit's take on how it is that you're meant to understand it. So then, you know, well, you can't know if you can trust these rabbis, you know, they'll tell you to be Mechal Shabbos, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. So therefore, that's how the Rif understands. That makes a lot more sense. Because, I mean, to read it the other way, then you would have to assume that for some reason, a woman is not considered to be a Bekiah at this, she's only Bekiah in elements that have to do with childbirth. I mean, that's a little ridiculous.
And that's against the Gers of Ketanet, as you choose one or the other then, because you meant Kutim.
Sorry? This is a different section. This is talking about Kutim and Nashim, not Kutim.
Okay, so you didn't. So the Ketanim is only there if you don't change it throughout. Here, Kuti means Kuti, according to everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Turn her up on it. Mifakim bikuach nefesh b'shabbat. So this also is nogea. Here we're talking about not illness, but rather collapsed buildings, which are unfortunately very nogea. So if a building collapses on people, then you are mifakeach, and you do whatever needs to be done. And this would include, we'll talk about that case too. Obviously, mifakein includes any type of pikuach nefesh. And hazariz hareze mishubach, ve'in tzarich litol reshus mibezdin, you do what you got to do instantly. For instance, let's say you see a kid falling into a swimming pool, right? Or into not a swimming pool, as we're going to see, because it's talking about this little fish in the pool. But you see him falling into a lake. Just go out there, take a net, and bring him up. And the faster you do this, the better. Don't sit around and go asking the local rabbi, you know. Ein tzarich litol reshut mibeidin. Now, this is true, afagav dekatzai dekavrei, even though he is actually going to bring up a lot of good fish that he's been hoping to be able to trap. And he's going to bring them up on Shabbos also. Faster you do it, the better. Ra'atinok shenafal abor. You see a kid falling into an open well. There's no water in it, but he's at the bottom of this well, of a pit. Oker chulia. You can dig down and make a step in order to reach him, and you bring him out. Azori zareze mishubach. The faster your response, the better off you are. And do not go ask the opinion of a local rabbi. So don't go to Besin. The child gets locked in the bathroom. So Ra'ashin and Ella Delit Bifnei Atinok. Break the door down and get the kid out because of psychological trauma. which can end up being endangering him. And psychological trauma is also considered to be an immediate sakanas nefashas. Break the board down, the door down. Do not run and ask your local rabbi. Ein tzorich lito rishus mi beit din. And this is true, even though you're very happy to break the door down, because actually you were planning on putting up a new door and you wanted to use this old door for firewood and you end up getting your firewood. So, wow, it's a great opportunity. And furthermore, you have a fire. You're allowed to put out the fire or to be mafsik. It seems rather obvious if to be mafsik, if you're allowed to put it out. So Koshikin, you'd be allowed to put down kalim in front of it, which will then break when the fire reaches it, and then they will pour out their water, which is only a grumma of kivui. Okay, so Tosis says the kalim is talking about you'd be carrying kalim through Rosh Hasharabim to bring them with the water and so on, and therefore it involves a more extensive Chilul Shabbos for a possibility that it's going to work. V'hazariz, and the faster you act on this, the more you get sechar. Hareze mishubach, and don't go ask in Bezdin. And this is true, even though the kamamachich makuke, even though you're going to be, as you do this, you're going to be banging down on the fire so that you end up with various pieces of coal all over the place, and you're planning on making this big barbecue, and you are wondering, gee, where am I going to get coal? Everything's going to be closed by Mitzvah Shabbos. So you're basically very happy that you ended up doing this on Shabbos. Now, why do we need so many different cases? Because each one of them adds a little bit of a chiddush. I'd say we would have started with the case of the yam. So it's obvious you should not go to Bezdin. That's great. You know, by the time you get back from Bezdin, the kid is drowned. That's ridiculous. Of course you can't go to Bezdin. So it'd be shum da da'achivachi also like. You're going to lose the kid meanwhile. Avol bor. Over there, the kid is at the bottom of a pit. What's going to happen to him? Nothing is going to happen to it. So maybe over there, I should say, look, I mean, I should find out whether there's really a sakanas nefashas. Is the kid panicking? Is he going to maybe go into shock? Is he going to be permanently damaged in his mind? Whatever. Therefore, I need to know even in that case. Okay, and if you tell me the case of the bar, so why do you need to tell me the case of the bathroom? Because there's a big difference between falling into a bar and falling into a bathroom. I mean, they should come mivet over there. The kid is terrified. Masha'enkin, the bathroom door gets locked, okay? So you could always tell the kid, you know, okay, be a good little boy. Everything's good. You get out. I'm going to be giving you candy. How about if we play a game? Okay, whatever. So you let him hear the candies that you're juggling with the candies. They're just waiting for you. Just wait a minute. Everything's going to be fine. You know, so maybe you can sit on the other side of the door, and you do all kinds of things to distract him, and that way he's not going to panic, and he'll be okay. Therefore, tzricha. So I need, therefore, to have this case as well. And what about the case of putting out a fire on Shabbos? Why do I need that to tell me that I shouldn't bother going to Pesach? That's because the chiddush over there, I need that is to tell me that even though there is no one in the building, the problem is, though, that if the fire spreads, it can spread from this chatzar into an adjacent home in another chatzar. I don't know what's going on in that other chatzar. So you say, okay, so go and tell everybody to evacuate. What if there's babies in there? What if there's sick people? I have no idea whether there's going to be time to do an evacuation. So therefore, you're allowed to immediately put it out because you may need to save lives in the next chatzar down. So anything that's going to affect other dwelling places where there just might be people in it that can't get out on time, of course you put out the fire instantly. Amrev Yosef, Amrev Yudah, Amrev Shmuel. Bechalal, you should know that there's no din of rov. So lo olchu bepikuach nefesh achar rov. So even though normally we'll follow a rov, where it involves the possibility of losing a life, we don't go basarov. Well, tell me what you mean. Echi dami. I mean, are you talking about a case where you've got 9 Jews and a goy, and a building collapses on one person? And now the question is, am I allowed to bring do everything that's necessary to get that building off of the person that's there? Well, that's sort of obvious. I mean, that's Ruba Ar Yisrael in that case. I mean, what do you tell me? You don't go bust the rope. Over there, it's Kenega the rope. Or, I mean, even if it would be half and half, you said if it's a suffix, that's suffix nefashot la'akel. That's what you said. So, of course, we should do whatever is necessary. Bring in bulldozers, anything that you need. Suffix nefashot la'akel. So, maybe the case that Shmuel is talking about is that you've got nine kutim and one Yisrael. Okay, so over there, you've got an overwhelming majority that is not Jewish. And he's telling me, I don't care. I don't care if it's 1,000 to 1. You go ahead, and even though only one person was buried by this building, and there's 1,000 to 1 against his being a Yisrael, nonetheless, you're b'chal Shabbos to get that building off of the victim. I mean, but that's also pashut, because since these people are living in that building, so then they are kavua. And if they're kavua in that chatzar, the ruling is, in general, that the concept of rov never applies to something that is permanently in its place. This is my place. The rule being that kol kavua is kemechza mechza. I mean, we always relate a kavua to a straightforward suffix. And you already said that the halacha is a straightforward suffix, that suffix nefashes is always lahaka. So of course it would be mechal Shabbos to get that building off. So it's got to be talking about over here. There's lots of machlokes. This is one of the very rich sugyas about understanding kol deporish versus kol kavua and trying to figure out why it makes a difference and how we define the kol deporish. But anyway, well, let's learn it first like Rashi. So it's talking over here in a case where the people that were in the first chotzer had moved away and they had come into another chatzar. And over there, the building collapses on one of the people that had moved into the other chatzar. That was the case. So, Mao Detema, keep your didya there. We've got a new person here for the Daf Yomi. Once he's stuck for life. Make sure he knows. So, so therefore, the Chiddush over here is that Mao de Tema, in this case, we're not talking about a kavua. In this case, we're talking about kol de parish, miruba kol parish. And therefore, I would say, okay, the person that the building fell on, we could go over here according to the rov and say, okay, so then he's not a Yisrael. So over there, Shmuel is telling me not only where it's mechza al mechza, and it's just stam a suffix, but even when there's a rov that is saying the person that is here, since 9 out of 10 chances in a case of prisha is that it's not a Jew, nonetheless, lo alchu b'pikuach nefesh achar arov. That must be the case. Okay, so this is the way Rashi understands the case over here. Which is not the way, and the Rambam has got a totally, totally different approach to the whole thing. And there's a lot of discussion. This is famous Reb Shimon Shkrop that's got basically a whole book on this issue. So, I mean, I'm not going to go into it now because it's really too complex. I'm hoping to be able to finish in enough time for us to get at least a Mishnah in. Okay, so we're talking over here is that Shmuel is coming to tell me that we don't go bus a rov even where it's called a parish. Is that true, though? Eini, is it true that we don't go bus a rov according to Shmuel here? Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, in a case where you have 9 kusim and 1 Yisrael, and they are now a building collapses on one of them, so the halacha is, if it's in that same chotzer, so then mefakhim, you do take off the rubble. And you try to save his life, because that's kol kavua. And kol kavua is kebechza al mechza. But if it collapsed on them in another chatzar, so that means that you have a victim who was purish min harov, then ein mefakhim. So it says over here that the halacha would be that you are not mefakeach in the case of kol de purish. Answers the Gemara, there's two different cases over here. Shmuel was talking about a case where the entire group moved into the next chatzar. That means that we know that there was at one point definitely a Yisrael in that chatzar. And over here, Rabbi Yochanan was talking about where one person or some of them come out of the chatzar, and therefore we've never established that there ever, ever was a Yisrael in that chatzar. To create the chiyuv in a chatzar where, why should I say there's a Yisrael there? If the Rov tells me that there's no reason to assume there was a Yisrael there, so then in that case, the halacha would be that we would not. Really? Did Shmuel say that we don't go Boser Rov ever? When we're talking about Hatzalas Nefashas? What about Vatznan? Matzah Batinok Mushlach? You find a child. You know what? How about if we leave this piece for tomorrow? And that way we can do a little bit more on the Rov calmly. And then we can use the minutes that we have maybe for a Benny moment to get into the Mishnah. Let's do it.
Rabbi, just did a quick comment. This is very germane, all this thing. On Friday, I was feeling bad. I have a chest infection. I went into the medical center, and the guy said, I want you to go to the hospital, take a chest x-ray, and maybe we'll put you in. I went against the halacha, because I realized being at home by yourself and me being in that same hospital that we spent.
We had a nice Shabbos there.
For sure.
Right.
So I'm home now, and after the doc, I'm going to be going there for the x-ray. So,
oh my gosh, feel better, Richie. It's actually amazing that you bring this up, because that was a part of a tshuva from Rav Waldenberg. And over there, the question was, if someone is in the middle of teaching a class of kids, and he gets a call from Hatzolah. So over there, there's like the call to Hatzolah, you know, the 50 people got that call from Hatzolah. So shall he leave the classroom and run out and do that, so thinking that maybe he'll get there 2 minutes before another person would have gotten there, or not? So what he says is, in that case, you have to take into consideration that leaving the kids alone is a sakanas nefashos, because they kill each other. So that's exactly this. He says, if it's that kind of situation, obviously you need to take also into consideration what the impact is of your leaving. So that's very interesting.